we had developed our core values, kept working on them. We tested them into our hiring decisions and now are a part of our hiring process. You know, they're part of how we evaluate our staff. They are something that I have to go in every now and then and evaluate myself. It's kind of harsh light sometimes, but it's necessary.
And while that's all fun, you guys have to become better leaders to figure out how to lead your team to be able to lead your clients. And so really there are three people that have to win, right? There is the client that has to win, there's the firm that has to win, and there's your team that has to win. And in order for all three of those things to happen, we have to become better leaders.
I could see the efficiencies. I could see the, where the bottlenecks were, and I could go around the things that could be going around because I had that autonomy and I knew how all the pieces worked together. So I had to give more information to each seat so that they understood how everything worked together and they could get out of their head for a minute and work more efficiently.
Welcome to Your Practice Mastered podcast. Today, we have something very special in store. So we actually have the opportunity to interview each of our four EAY finalists for 2023. EAY means a lot in our program, and I'm going to turn it over to Rich in a second to introduce what EAY is and why it's important here in our world. But just know you're in for an exciting episode today as we get to explore four different entrepreneurial attorney stories. Rich, why don't we discuss EAY?
Yeah, so EAY stands for Entrepreneurial Attorney of the Year. Everybody at the end of the year receives an application that we customize for the year. And then they decide to apply. And they apply for a couple of reasons. One, because they just really believe me when I tell them it's good for them if they go through their business and all the things they did in the year to examine what worked and what didn't work. Two, because even if they didn't have a great year, they want to figure out what was broken. Or three, they had a really good year and they thought they had a chance of winning and they wanted to apply to win. And it doesn't matter whether what the reason was. We review the application and then we choose with a panel of our choosing in our office, the four finalists. And the four finalists then get an all-expense paid trip for them and a guest to come to our August event, wherever it's going to be. This year, it's going to be in Virginia Beach, brand new Marriott hotel on the ocean.
Hey, today we're joined with our second EAY finalists. It's William and Kelly Grafton, and we are super excited to have them on today to share their story and their journey with us. So Will and Kelly, thank you guys for being on. We appreciate you taking some time to be willing to share your story today.
Our pleasure.
Awesome. I want to kick in similar to how we've done. You guys are also friends of the pod and you've had an opportunity to be on before, but why don't we start for those of you that don't know anything about you guys? What's something that maybe not everyone knows about you? It could either be collective or individual.
Well, individually for me, I think it's probably my Audible addiction. I've got about 12 months plus of listening time on my Audible app. I probably average 6 hours a day with an earbud in my ear, listening at 2.75 to 3.25, depending on the narrator speed. And yeah, so that's a constant thing for me. I'm always looking for something else to learn, something else to listen to.
You know you're addicted to Audible when you have to keep buying credits. Kelly's like, we spent $400 on Audible this year? What?
I would never question that at all. The amount of value that he gets from Audible is priceless. The only thing is the earbuds constantly when the kids or I are trying to talk to him. That's the only thing.
How about you, Kelly? What's something that nobody knows? A lot of people don't know about you.
I think you guys know everything. The only thing I could think of, because when you asked Jonathan, I got my wheels turning. Maybe it's just the fact that I started working early. I had my first job when I was 7. I grew up across the street from a shopping center. So I worked in every single store there, the pizza shop. I cut onions and folded pizza boxes. I worked at the pet store cleaning out the little, you know, pet gear stuff. I worked at the grocery store and the fabric store and, you know, everywhere. So I'm a hustler from the get-go. And I think that kind of goes into how our year developed. I was sidelined or was supposed to be sidelined for a few months and I just couldn't stand it. So I came in and did what I could do, even despite supposed to be on, you know, home resting, recuperating from a surgery. I couldn't stand it. I can't sit still. I need to be hustling and doing something. So
you had multiple pieces of your body surgically repaired at the same time.
Yeah, well, I started the year with my shoulder, elbow, and wrist of my dominant hand. Don't ever do that, by the way. Don't ever let anyone talk you into multiple surgeries at one time if you can avoid it. Yeah, I couldn't drive, couldn't type, couldn't write for months, and never again. I don't care. Never again.
Never again. Okay, let's hope we don't have to do that ever again. I know that there seems to be a common trait amongst those who are either successful at their profession or specifically successful as entrepreneurs, that they had a desire to produce early. It might have started to make a couple of dollars, but that's not really the reason. We usually started because we have this inside engine that just runs. And you have that. And I agree, that's what has allowed you to accelerate past many of your peers through the years, not just in Partners Club, but in your own community, in the practice area that you're in many ways, because your engine keeps running. There's more to it than that, but I think that's a driving factor. You have to have either the desire or the willingness or both to work through the difficult times. Do you agree with that?
Definitely. And both Will and I have experienced that in our lives and been knocked all the way down and climbed right back up again, because it's in our DNA, I think.
It's got to be. Winners have that in their DNA. And here you guys are. Speaking of winning, this is a bit of a unique scenario as well. And we're super excited about this because you've actually had the opportunity to win EAY before. And you guys are back here in this position today for the 2023 EAY finalists. So I'm going to ask you guys, what led you to want to apply for EAY for 2023? Again, you know, whether it was diagnosing numbers, whether it was us encouraging you, or you had a great year and you thought you had a solid run at it, what inspired that this last year?
I was sitting in the conference for Guadalajara talking to the group that I was assigned. I was remote for that conference. Will was there live. And I was telling everybody, you got to apply, you got to apply, you got to apply. It's my favorite thing to do in the beginning of the year, to do a deep dive into our numbers, to figure out where we came from, where we're going, what we did. It energizes me. It focuses me. It gives me something to plan for the year. While I was on that call, our sales guy quit without notice. Mental health reason, you know, he had to move on for his own good. And suddenly I was thrown into the console room because we didn't have anybody, and I had to go back and do that. And I almost put this on the back burner, almost said, yeah, it's not going to happen. But it's so valuable. Going through this exercise is so valuable to me that Will and I put it together in the last 48 hours or so before the deadline, hun. I think we got it done because we needed to do this exercise to focus us for where we want to be in 2024.
I think it was 48 minutes until then.
Well, I think you said you were making the video while she was finishing up the application.
Yep. I was about 20 takes trying to get a, you know, 5 minutes worth of talking into a 2 minute application video. So it took me a minute. And by the time I was done, Kelly was done. So we packaged it all up and sent it in. So it was great.
Yep. I didn't even see the video before we submitted it. There wasn't time.
The dream team. You guys got it done though. And you got it done well.
We work really well together.
Quick unpacking of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Husband and wife team, both attorneys. You work really well together. Is that an accurate statement all the time? Do you have a challenge as a husband and wife team? What does that feel like? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question, to be honest. Sorry. No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But in all seriousness, what is it? Because I'm sure there's other husband and wife teams listening. So whether they're both attorneys or maybe one's a business manager and one's the attorney, what is that like for you?
It's perfect for me. I know that my partner has my back no matter what.
Yeah.
And you can't replace that. Right. I've seen business partnerships fail because they are looking out for themselves. Right. And there's no me without Kelly. And so if I'm looking out for myself, I'm looking out for her.
Yeah. And I know I can count on him. We've always said that we can't both be having a bad time at the same time. So if one of us is, you know, depressed and low energy and maybe not working up to speed, the other one picks up the slack and we take turns who's struggling at the moment. And we've been through a lot in our business, in our marriage, with our family, and that has really helped. Our need to step up for the other person when they're down really does help balance us out. But yeah, I mean, there are some days where we get frustrated at each other, but at the end of the day, we know that we're both working towards the same goal. We know that we survived working in the same office, literally the same room, kneecap to kneecap for years while our children were little. And so now that he's on the other side of the wall, I feel like almost that we work in two different places sometimes. So we've got that space now, we've got some freedom, we have our defined roles, and it really does work well together for us.
Well, Maria, my East Coast Italian bride, my ECIB, and I have been married for 29 years this year. And we've been working in business every one of those years together at some level. And she decided to come up to my office. And of course, the moment she walks into my office, she recognizes it's just like a bomb went off. And she wanted to start. And I go, oh, MySpace. She goes, oh, yep. And she left because I'm not allowed to go in her space and mess around. And she's not allowed to go in my space and mess around unless asked by each of us. And so I think healthy boundaries helps this. But I think what you said about having each other's back and knowing that you can trust that what's good for the partner is good for the family. And that's really helpful. And not everybody has that. And it doesn't work for everybody. And I recognize that. And my team would tell you, Maria's and my team would tell you through the years, they didn't think there were times it worked for us either because we had some massive blowouts in the office because we're both very passionate humans. And I wasn't a great leader at one point. I appreciate what you guys have gone through on a day-to-day basis. MPS, where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, so you guys, obviously, as we were getting ready to talk about the episode, started talking about a low point in the journey, because like any entrepreneurial journey, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. What was that low point for you guys in the journey? Walk us through that, and what did you feel like at that point?
Kelly, you want to handle this one?
Okay. It all surrounds Partners Club and Richard James. I mean, you reached out to us, or one of your team members reached out to us back in 2015, maybe. And we signed up for your, what you would call the toolkit or something. Now, you mailed us some stuff every month and we never opened it. We put it in a box and we never opened it.
You mean that big box of stuff I mailed you?
Yeah.
You never opened it?
No, we didn't. And we have now, to be truthful, but we hadn't at the time. Because we weren't committed to doing this. We were both working at other firms, doing other things. We weren't sure we wanted to do this for real. I'm very risk adverse, so you know, it didn't seem to work for me. But then we got your golden ticket, and we went to this event in November of 17, and we're just blown away and so mad at ourselves for wasting 2 years of getting your materials and not reading them. And we showed up there and we said to each other, we got to do this. We have to find a way to do this. But we literally didn't have it because we weren't committed to the process. We were, again, both working elsewhere. So the firm itself didn't have enough revenue to cover just your costs. And you know what? What was so great about that is we laid it all out to you that day and said, we want to be here. Help us figure out how to be here. And you did. Bert did. Lots of partners met with us and helped us figure out how to be there. And it turned everything around in our minds. It's not that we weren't capable of these things before. It's just we weren't ready to do them. Coming to that event flipped the switch, I think. For me, it did. And the rest is history.
How about you, Will? Thank you, Kelly. That's kind. I received that. I don't want this to be promotional for us. And I appreciate that you said it. And it's not off grounds.
I can't help it. It is.
I get it. I appreciate that. We've always inspired to create a place where everybody else, when things are going well, you're going to reach down and lift that person up who things aren't going all that well for. And when things aren't going all that well, there's a place you can reach up to and somebody will give you a leg up. And really, that was been our goal the whole time. And as we're growing, we're experiencing rapid growth and we're trying to consistently remember to maintain that methodology and that core value for ourselves. But Will, how about you? Any other low points that come to mind that you guys had to struggle through, even in the last couple of years as you were going through this growth phase?
Yeah. Other than that, I think the only other thing that jumps out to me is looking, I think it was 2022 or maybe even early in 2023, looking at our numbers and realizing that we could be doing so much better if only we could find how to better lead our team. We had sales locked in. Our sales guy wound up getting a little bit too loose towards the end of his tenure with us, and we've had some trouble replacing him. We were getting 50, 60, 70 sales a month. Mm-hmm. We just weren't closing those cases. Mm-hmm. And we had a pile of money sitting in trust. Mm-hmm. And we were spending so much money trying to process all of these cases, overpaying for everything. And, you know, it's like we're $1 million firm, except that we're not. We had everything we needed to be this firm that we want to be.
But all your profit was stuck in trust.
All of our profit stuck in trust. And our lead time on every single case was just killing us. And so that's what we went about to fix.
Yeah, that's the downside of your practice area, bankruptcy. Like in criminals, the machine's going to roll, right? The case is going to get processed. There's nothing they can do. Family law, the machine's going to roll. But in bankruptcy, unless they have an outside third party working on them, people don't necessarily have to get you everything they need voluntarily. And we hope that they just would. Like a lot of the staff is like, wait a second, you came to me, you have this problem. We're going to help you with this problem. We just need you to get A, B, C, D, and E. Why don't you get it to us? And they're frustrated by looking at them. Why don't they get them to us? And while that's all fine and good, you guys have to become better leaders to figure out how to lead your team to be able to lead your clients. And so really there are three people that have to win, right? There is the client that has to win. There's the firm that has to win, and there's your team that has to win. And in order for all three of those things to happen, we have to become better leaders. And so was there anything specific that you did to take that journey? By the way, I'm curious, if you're listening live, maybe you don't trust your money, or maybe you do trust your money, but have you ever had a moment in your season where you just couldn't, it didn't feel like you can get all the work done. You were behind. Type in behind if you feel like you're just behind in the work. Maybe you figured out marketing and sales because that's what we're good at around here. Or you listen to a few other things, but like processing the work, you just feel like you're behind. Yeah, right? Okay, it's out there. People, that's a normal feeling. And so I tell that to you, Will and Kelly, because you know that now. But to anybody that's listening, like, I want you to know you're not alone. Like, you know, you're spinning these plates, right? And it feels like you get one spin and then another one starts wobbling. We often say it's like changing the brakes in the car as you're driving down the road, and you fix marketing and you fix sales, but now all of a sudden you got to serve the clients and you got to hold all this together. So Will, Kelly, what did you guys do to start to learn how to become better leaders? By the way, this is a constant theme, but what did you do to learn to become better leaders to lead that team to the next level?
I sat in the seats. So I came in one-handed. Literally with my arms strapped to my side for months and sat in the seats. Started at the reception desk. Our receptionist left for whatever reason, and we needed somebody there. So I sat there and redefined the role, established all of our systems, all of our parameters. Now that we're a bigger firm, the systems I developed back in 2019 were good, but they weren't enough, right? We needed more. And I kept getting feedback from staff, oh, this job is too hard, or this is too big for one person, or whatever. It really wasn't. If I could do it with one hand in half a day.
Literally one hand tied behind your back.
Yeah, and still get it done in half a day, what's up? But because I could see the efficiencies, I could see where the bottlenecks were, and I could go around the things that could be going around because I had that autonomy and I knew how all the pieces worked together. So I had to give more information to each seat so that they understood how everything worked together and they could get out of their head for a minute and work more efficiently. So I sat in that seat for 2 months or so. Meanwhile, the pre-filing department is literally the next room over, and I sat and listened to them all day, and I started noticing the issues, the problems, the bottlenecks, the things that were causing them to just spin their wheels. And one of them was deadwood. We had so many clients that had hired us, paid a small amount, and then disappeared. And we had bought into this buy, die, or unsubscribe model so fiercely, we didn't want to let them go.
Right.
But you know, we talked to you at one of the events, Will and I brainstormed, and we said, that's fine, but we got to take them off of these people's desks. If all we're doing is just calling and leaving voicemails every week for 2 years, that's a phone rep job, you know? And if they actually get them on the line, then we'll transfer them back to a paralegal who could do something. But why are we having our paralegals chase people? This is wasted effort. So I moved when we got our reception come in. I sat in that office for a couple of months. And then I sat, you know, in the post-filing office, and I did this all year long. I sat in just about every single seat in the firm, and in doing so, rewrote the script, rewrote the procedures, redefined things, listened to them. And it helped not only the people that we had, but it also helped us figure out who we shouldn't have anymore. And we got rid of a few people, and it helped us to spot people that would be good fits. So we ended up hiring a client of ours because I got an email from her in the middle of the night, and dang, it was exactly what we needed. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, you want a job? And she's become a rock star. So when you're in the trenches, your eyes are open to those things and those opportunities come to you. That's what I did while Will was working on finding our culture and figuring out what we wanted to do as leaders and what we really wanted to promote, because I'm very efficiency systems oriented and whatever, and I can lose sight of the bigger picture. Will was bringing that into us and showing us what we needed to promote and what makes a good employee and what makes a good client and how the two fit together.
You agree with that, Will?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw Kelly doing what she did and still amazes me. But my part of this started actually in the fall of 22. Joe Jepson and I got with a small group of people and we did our own traction mastermind group where we met once a week, or sometimes it was once every other week or every third week, just as our schedules allowed, and mastermind our way through the book Traction. And we put together our vision traction organizer, and it took a long time. I think it was May 23 event. Ben Glass was the guest, and he handed out this culture document. And I think it's been on my desk since that event. And I think I just cleaned it off. Either that or it's buried under a new pile. This is why Kelly stays out of my office and away from my desk, is because my desk would cause her to twitch. And I wanted to create that same thing here. And so that's what I worked on. We had developed our core values, kept working on them. And it was probably 6-8 months before I felt like we really had what those were. We tested them into our hiring decisions, and now they're going to, are a part of our hiring process. They're part of how we evaluate our staff, and they are something that I have to go in every now and then and evaluate myself. And it's a harsh light sometimes, but it's necessary.
Yeah, but so you got two partners. One gets into the weeds, puts on the rubber gloves, goes back to doing all the things that you probably did in the very beginning, but now you got to figure out how to do it at scale. Reimagine the systems that would now be required to grow at the new pace you're at, and then figured out the path to get to the profitability you were looking for by getting through the workload. At the same time, the other partner went out and decided the 30,000 foot view and the core values to figure out how to put this blanket over the firm and tie everything together in many ways. And so what a powerhouse partnership that the two of you have. Congratulations on working well together, both individually doing what you found were your strengths and working towards them. I'm excited to hear more about the details at your presentation. Michael, we got about 2 minutes left. Where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited to hear the presentation and get into the nitty gritty of the how, but tell us what's got you excited today. Could be business, could be personal.
Well, I've got a surprise for Kelly that I'm working on that I can't tell her about, and I'm excited about that. But what I can talk about is I'm excited about our first quarter. We just closed out our best first quarter ever. Our top line number was only up 23%, but our bottom line number was up 113%. So that's the number that I'm really excited about right now. I wasn't excited about the check we had to write to the IRS in the state of Maryland. I was excited about the fact that I didn't have to really think about, can we write that check right now?
It's a wonderful feeling. Kelly, how about you?
No, he took what I was going to say. I'm excited for this year's numbers. We seem to be, I don't even want to say it out loud, man. We're rolling. Things are moving smoothly, which is the kiss of death usually. I'm really excited to see where we end up this year. I want to really dial in further on the expenses. We've been talking about it as precision expense management, because we're kind of at the Uber level. We won EY in 2019 because we had the benefit of doing all the low-hanging fruit, all the easy stuff. Oh, we weren't doing direct mail. Great, now we are. We weren't doing this. Yeah, now we are. But now the decisions and the issues are bigger and they're more nuanced and they just take that next level. And so they're slower to do, but they're much more precise. So that's where we're focused on this year, is taking all the knowledge that we've learned the last decade with you guys and honing it in so that we can make sure that this machine is running smoothly, constantly without us. I'm looking forward to another summer at home with my kids, which is what I was able to do last year, because I don't have to be in here with my hands on the steering wheel constantly. So that's priceless. You only get, what do they say, 18 summers with your kids, and I want every single one of them if I can.
Sometimes you can get lost in the fact that we're celebrating a 2023 EAY. The reality is that I can't speak for the other two finalists that are going to speak, James and Katanga, but I suspect that we're going to hear them say something similar, that it's not just about 2023. They're now experiencing a great 2024. And I think that is the truth. When you get the foundations in place and you do the hard work, the benefit of this crazy ride we call entrepreneurship is that you actually can develop a business that supports your lifestyle. In the middle of the story, it feels a little bit like hell. But on the other side of that story, it can be a very beautiful thing. So congratulations to the two of you for what you've done in 2023. And I'm excited about what you're doing in 2024. Thank you so much for sharing with us today your story, a little insight. Hopefully everybody got that one writer downer, by the way. If everybody wasn't listening, if you've got something broken in your business, go sit in the seat 100%. And do it yourself. That's the one writer downer you should have taken out of that. That's an amazing writer downer. Go sit in the seat and do it yourself. You'll find out real quick where the breaks are in the system. MPS, how do you want to wrap up?
Oh, I just want to thank you, Will and Kelly, for taking some time to be on and sharing your story today. Again, we're super excited to see you here in a couple of weeks and deliver live to all of the other members. But thank you for taking the time. And to the law firm owners, thank you for taking the time. Make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on where you're listening or watching. Thank you, guys.
It's our pleasure.
Awesome.